What do you say, church? We have been brought into the presence of God. Thank you. Thank you. Praised Him. Given their heart and given everything they have. You almost made me join you up there and sing. We will one day by the grace of God. I know time is far spent. Let's pray together as we get into our message. Our Father in heaven, indeed we have worshipped. We've been drawn into your presence. And I know the angels have accompanied us in worship. And we want to say thank you. And now, Lord, it's just that one moment where you speak to our hearts one more time. Would you hide me behind the cross of Jesus Christ and allow the meditations of my heart to be acceptable to you as I deliver thy word to thy people. I pray that you will grant them receptive hearts and each will gather some jewel that will help them walk a little closer to you. Be with us now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm sure you have one. A sack. You all know what's a sack? S-A-C-K. I should have had my PowerPoint up there. It would be more dramatic. But a sack. Probably you do not remember it, but you have one. It was given you. A sack. An itchy, scratchy sack. You did not ask for it, but you have it. You needed this sack so you could carry the stones. All kinds of stones. Rocks, boulders, pebbles, all shapes of stones, all unwanted. You did not request for them. You did not seek them, but you were given them. Some were rocks of rejection. You were given one of them when you were not allowed into that football team. It was not because of a lack of effort. Heaven knows how much you practiced. You thought you were good enough for the team, but the coach did not. You thought you were good enough for the team, but they said you were not good enough. Not good enough to pass your exams. Not good enough to get that well-deserved promotion. And soon you realized you have a collection of stones in your sack. You made a bad choice. You made a mess with your life. You get called out a few names. You get mocked. You get abused. And the stones do not stop with adolescence. When you grow older, you get rejected many times. You are rejected over 50 times for the job interviews. And so the sack gets heavy. Heavy with stones. Stones of rejection. Stones we don't deserve. Along with a few stones we deserve. When you look into your sack, what do you see? The stones are not just stones of rejection. You also see stones of regret. Regret for the time you lost your temper. Regret for the day you lost control. Regret for the moment you lost your pride. Regret for the years you lost your priorities. And even regret for the hour you lost your innocence. One stone after another, and now you are tired. Tired of one guilty stone after another, the sack gets heavy, and we get tired. How do we minister to God's people who are carrying heavier sacks than us if we ourselves are burdened with our own sacks full of stones? The title of my message this morning is These Hands. These Hands. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 to 30, a very familiar passage of Scripture. Matthew 11, 28 to 30. I want to read in your hearing from the New Living Translation. Then Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and the burden I give you is light." Rest. Whenever we talk about rest, my wife kind of looks at me because she doesn't think I get enough rest. But then my son came to my rescue the other day, and she said, "Dad, I read an article, research, that says 13% of the world population functions with less than 5 hours of sleep a day, and they function very normally." And my wife still doesn't buy into it. She still thinks I need to get my solid 10 hours of sleep. But I thought, that explains a lot about me. Because I function, but sleep is not part of a priority of my life. So I always find myself working, and I'm more optimal sometimes in those late hours into the night. That's when I study, that's when I read, that's when I do my assignments, that's when I do everything I can be able to do. But how can we go unless we get rest? In the context of our visioning, we can't. In the context of that 2020 is here, and we need to penetrate our community that has a society that has a wall around it, because people are carrying all kinds of sacks around them. How can we be able to go? Many of us attempt to run before we get the needed rest. Of the many different types of people who gather together in Christian worship every week, there is one group that deserves special attention. These are they who come to the Lord with a questioning heart in need of rest. It may be the person who suffers under an uncaring boss. It may be a person in a marriage with an uncaring spouse. It may be a faithful parent with a spiritually wayward child. It may be a young person who lost a friend in a tragic accident. Or it may be you and me who have come to this church carrying our sacks of rejection and regret. We tried to take that sack to the office and resolved to work hard so we can forget about it. We arrived early to work and left late. People were impressed by our hard work, but when it was time to go home, the sack was right there waiting for us. So we got desperate. And we thought we brought the sack to church. Perhaps we think to ourselves, religion will help. But instead of removing a few stones, some well-meaning but misguided Christian may add to the Lord. And sometimes we leave church with a few more rocks. And so many of us come to this worship setting to question the Lord's control of life. We are seeking some kind of resolution in our hearts. Sometimes we come to church with questions because our experience does not match up with how we expect God's will to be carried out in our own lives. Our experience and our expectations do not match up. And so we bring our burdens to God. We, like John the Baptist, know that Jesus is the Messiah. But our present situation doesn't feel like it. John the Baptist prepared the way for the Messiah. And in John 1, 6 to 8, it just simply says, God sent a man, John the Baptist, to tell about the light so that everyone might believe because of his testimony. John the Baptist was sent from God. John the Baptist's message was to witness to the divine origin. He was sent with a commission. He had a special revelation about Jesus' messianic identity. However, his present experience of being in prison awaiting execution did not match with his expectation of deliverance from the Messiah. Many of us can relate to John's situation. The young mother of three children whose husband has been diagnosed with terminal cancer may plead with God to understand. how he could leave her with this unexpected lonely burden. How about a pastor who is unexpectedly forced out of the church? He may question what it really means to follow God's leading. Or a missionary couple who have sacrificed throughout their lives to spread God's message only to discover that their retirement fund has been dissolved. There are many things that can cause us to question God's leading in our lives. And so sometimes instead of leaving church relieved, we leave with extra burdens on our shoulders. And therefore, Matthew 11, 28 to 30 speaks to you and me today. In order to bear a witness, in order for you and I to go and be witnesses, Jesus invites you and I to come and receive rest. This passage says, come to me. The verse reads, it is easy to go to the wrong places to receive rest and relief. You may say, preacher, I have tried that already. I have read the Bible. I have sat on pews, but I have never received relief. I know I'm speaking to somebody today. We have an invitation found only in Matthew's gospel. Jesus, who alone reveals the Father and the divine plan of redemption, calls out to you and me today, come to me. Can I build on this? Come to me a little bit. When Jesus invited Peter and Andrew in Matthew chapter 4, remember we talked about Andrew last night? In Matthew chapter 4, verse 19, he said to them, come after me. But here, he invites us and says, come to me. This is a call to intimacy with him. Coming to Jesus means depending on him. Maybe you have come many times and you have found no rest. Let me ask a deliberate question today. Could it be that you came to religion rather than to God? Could it be that you went to a church but never saw Jesus? Come to me. When we come to Jesus, he promises to relieve us of our burdens. Jesus has a solution for the weariness of our souls. Jesus extends the invitations by saying, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. The yoke, let me explain to you. I had an opportunity to be in the Rupununi Valley in the southern Amazon in Guyana. And that's where I really learned the meaning of what a yoke is. The yoke was a wooden frame joining two animals for pulling heavy loads. The image describes one individual's subjection to another. The yoke was a familiar metaphor in the Old Testament to describe Israel's subjection to foreign oppression. When I was down in the Amazon, I saw them yoking two oxen to be able to plow the land. But then there was a formula to the madness of yoking these two together. I realized that the old and experienced and strong oxen was always on the right side of the field. And the younger one was on the inside of the field. And you don't understand that until you see them start moving. And when they start moving, the young buck thinks it's much more, has a better plan to how to plow the land. The old oxen knows you go right to the end, you go around in square, you come back around and you turn around until you come and complete the entire land. It will take hours. But the young buck thinks, why can't we just go straight this way and that way and that way? But whenever he tries to go that way, because he's yoked to the experienced one, he always is kept on track. So when Jesus says, take my yoke upon me, is one that says you have to be subjected to Jesus as Lord and Savior. We too many times we have a casual, superficial relationship with Jesus. We say we are Christians, but we're not living like we're Christians. We say Jesus is Lord, but he's not showing up somewhere on the streets of our lives. You know, I shared with you yesterday the Bible study. My wife Ruth is here, so at lunchtime you can ask her. When we went to a home and there was wine all over the place and we were doing a Bible study and they were struggling. And somebody said that must have been expensive wine. Yes, it was expensive wine. And they were struggling with the cost of having to lose that vis-a-vis the word of God. And all we could do, we couldn't tell them what to do with what they had. But we decided we're going home, we're going to pray. And after 2 weeks they called us to witness what they decided. And they decided we're going to get baptized, but before we get baptized, we're going to take this stuff and we're going to pour it out. When you are yoked to Jesus, there's the meaning and significance to that. God promised Israel through the prophets that he would break the yoke of foreign oppression. Our forefathers broke the yoke of colonialism and the yoke, our forefathers fought against the yoke and oppression of slavery. When bulls were yoked together, the young, often energetic bull was yoked to the old one, more stronger and experienced bull. So when he tried to wander off, the old bull would keep him in check. But Jesus' invitation is completely different from the yoke of oppression. Jesus will bear your burdens for you. His yoke is a metaphor for discipleship. Jesus promises rest for the weariness and burdens of religious regulations and human oppression. Jesus makes a commitment to bear our burdens. Jesus made a commitment at the cross to bear the burden of guilt. You're not alone, I came by to tell you. Jesus cares for you. Because you can't minister, not just the ministry leaders, all of us. We cannot practice and minister our faith until we allow Jesus to carry the burdens that we carry. He understands your pain. He sees your tears. And he feels the anguish you must endure. The yoke of discipleship brings rest. What have you been hearing lately? Have you heard about the man from Galilee? Have you heard about the story of the one who died for you? I was having a conversation with somebody the other day and they said, you know, church is too far. And I said, church is too far. Let's have a conversation. How far did Jesus come?
Come on now. Come on now.
And I briefly went to the book of Revelation where it says there was silence in heaven for one space of half an hour. Half an hour prophetically equals about 7 days. And if we're going to be traveling at the speed of light, light travels at 186,000 miles per second. So you multiply how far heaven is. And then when Jesus came and he went from Pilate's hole to go up to that hill called Calvary and Golgotha's hill, how far are you willing to go up? I will drive 100 miles because my Lord drove more than that. Have you heard of the one who bears your burdens daily? Beloved, when we come to God's word, when we study his word, when we allow his spirit to speak to our hearts, when we apply God's word in our lives, then we will have peace. We will have peace in spite of the chaos around us. When we take the yoke Jesus offers, he will calm our lives as we go through the storms of life. Because as Christians, we must go through some storms. Jesus says, come to me. Come inside. I'll provide shelter for you. Come to me. And I will teach you how to trust again.
Amen.
When there is chaos all around us, and there is chaos all around us, right now, quite frankly, we don't know how to deal with this new coronavirus right now. And the reality is that I think 3 people now have been diagnosed in Maryland. So it's even closer than we thought, you know. So with this chaos all around us, come to Jesus and you will receive rest. When your financial world is melting down, I just came by to tell you, come to Jesus. Before you can go, you must first come to Jesus. Many of us are trying to go before we have received the commission to go. Come to Jesus. You see, my friends, I do not know how it works, but it works. Jesus says he has the solution for the weariness of your soul. What sacks of stones do you bring today? Come to Jesus. A long time ago, Jesus carved your name on the palms of his hands. Yes, at the cross, those hands were nailed for you and for me. And I don't know about you, I spend about an hour just reflecting on the sacrifice of Jesus for my life. Not for anybody else's life. This is not time that I'm trying to make a sermon. It's when I'm having my devotion time. And many times I am driven to tears for what God has done for me, unworthy as I am. If God was like me, I would cast some people somewhere. And I thank God that I am like those that I want to cast out. And yet God was patient with me and is still patient with me. I tell people I cannot judge people in many ways because there are still parts of my life that are still on trial today. And so I have to exercise the grace that God has extended to me. Now that doesn't mean that I shouldn't hold people accountable. I will hold somebody accountable to the word of God. But I will walk with them and I will work with them, like I said, with our covenant that as ministry leaders, we hold each other accountable. You've been ordained by God. He has put a seal of ownership on you. You belong to God. And oh, if only we could believe that. It is one thing to read about Jesus. It's another to know him intimately. Jesus says, come to me. It's an intimate invitation. Come in and sit and let's get to know each other. Get to know me and get to know what I'm about for your life. And when I realized that, when I walked out of that club, it took me about a year to actually get fully my feet really grounded, but because I ran into some Christians that ran me through some turbulent waters. But it took me a while. I was homeless in the process of being saved. And I could not understand how in the world I can get saved, and at the same time now I am homeless and on the streets. I shared with you last night, when I got my assignment to come to Delaware, I was actually homeless. And the letter went where it was hostile because we were thrown out by the police because there was a crisis, a conflict between a husband and a wife. And the police came in. It was Sabbath morning. We were going to communion. Where's Sister Jones? It was communion again. We were going to communion. We were ready for communion, all dressed in black and white. My friend was a deacon, ready to serve for communion. And then there was a provocation in the morning, and I heard commotion going on. So I took the little boy, my pastor and me took the little boy, and I was trying to run out. And as I was running out with the little boy, the police were there. They told me to put him down, and they told me to stand by the wall. And the next thing they said, you heard what he said, get out now. And so by the time God is making an assignment for me, I am homeless and the letter for my assignment is gone to place where I was thrown out. But God is still gracious. Come to me. When you realize God has invited you, nothing will faze you that goes on in this world. I got to finish my sermon. My time is up here. You see, I came to let you know that those hands were nailed because of you and me. It was love that sent Jesus to the cross. God has not forgotten you today. Isaiah 49 is what we just read. Can a mother forget her nursing child? Can she feel no love for the child she has born? But even if it were possible, I would not forget you. See, I have written your names on the palms of my hands. Always in my mind is a picture of Jerusalem's wall in ruins. This question, I told you, questions always demand an answer. Whether it's a yes answer or a no answer, whatever answer, it demands an answer. So when God, when this passage in Isaiah asks, can a woman forget her suckling child? The answer automatically demands is no. A mother can never forget her own child. But God says, even if they do, God will never forget you. So I came by to let you know that you are permanently engraved on the palm of God's hand, just as a mother will never forget her children. God says he can never forget you. The handwriting on his hands is a mark of divine love. It is an eternal memorial of his love. These permanent scars on his hands and feet are a reminder of the price he paid for our redemption. So bring your brokenness to Jesus. He cares. Bring your messed up life to him. He cares and he understands. These marks on his hands remind us of his forgiveness. Today, you are forgiven. It doesn't matter what you, where you just came from. Right now, if you believe in your heart and you accept that, you are forgiven. The marks on his hands are a badge of our divine acceptance in heaven. But the handwriting in his hands goes deeper. And that's where the title came in. These hands. The handwriting on his hands. These hands are able to start all over again. It does not matter where you've been today. This very day, these hands will reshape your future. Are you with me this morning? These hands will give you a second chance. Leave your rejections and regrets with these hands. Let me speak about these hands as I bid you goodbye this morning. It is in our interest to stay in his hands. Are you with me this morning? The world is full of people who can be really mean to you. Stay in his hands. You may have discovered that in that his hands guide us and his hands direct us. If we are willing, his hands will shape our future. He sees our flaws, but he holds us in his hands. He sees our problems, but also he sees our potential and he holds us in his hands. He sees our faults and our failures. He sees when we are right and when we are wrong. Nonetheless, he still holds us in his hands. It was his hands that led the blind man to the pool of Siloam. It was his hands that lifted the man at Bethesda's pool and he said, take up your bed and walk. It was his hands that lifted Peter from a wild and raging sea. His hands will pull you from your wild and raging storm today. It was his hands that wrote on the dust to defend a woman caught in adultery. His hands will write on the dust to defend you and give you mercy and give you grace. It was his hands that cooled the scorching fevers and eased unbearable pain. It was his hands that formed the dry land for the children of Israel to walk through. It was his hands that scooped up the dust of the earth and made man and woman in his own image. It was his hands that wrote the Ten Commandments for us to follow towards life. It was his hands that were nailed to the old rugged cross so that we could live forever if we believe. It was his hands that rescued me from the jaws of Satan and settled me in the house of worship. We are safe in his hands. Well, I must leave now. I'm glad that God decided to be patient with me. I'm not where I should be, but I'm glad I'm not where I used to be. I'm so glad that he did not throw me away. But he made a way out of death, hell, and the grave. He looked beyond my faults to see another vessel. Too many of us are trying to find a way of escape elsewhere. Before we can be sent, we must stay in his hands. Jesus said, come to me. Some have tried to escape by alcohol. Some escape through pornography. Others through drugs. Too many things we have tried to escape the pain of life. You know where you are. Jesus said, come to me. Jesus has the solution for your weariness. Our great commission, Matthew 28:18-20. Jesus told his disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I've given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Before we can be sent, we must come to Jesus. Like John the Baptist, who was commissioned by God to herald the first coming of the Messiah. We've been commissioned to proclaim the second coming of the Messiah. Jesus says all authority in heaven is given and earth has been given to him. Here is the commissioning. You and me with this. He is commissioning you and me with the same authority to go and tell the world that he is coming. You and I are missionaries to this community. Do you believe that? We have been sent, but before we go, we must come to Jesus. Coming to Jesus brings you joy. Be honest with him. Admit your secrets. You have secrets that you have not dealt with. He already knows what they are. Jesus is just waiting for you to ask him to help. He's just waiting for you to give him your sack. Go ahead, beloved. Go ahead. You'll be glad you did. Your family will be glad you did. Those near you will be glad you did. It's hard to throw stones when you've left them at the cross. Jesus said, come to me. I'm going to close with this on this visioning weekend. See if it works. Skip to the second slide, I guess. There you go. See, as we're talking about Visioning Weekend and what it means, I would like to invite you one more time after lunch. Please come so we can sit and have a talk together. Part of that conversation is, where do we want God to lead us? I think that's our mission statement up there?
Yes.
We recite that every Sabbath. What does it mean for us? When we talk about Edmondson Heights 2020 and beyond, we're not dismantling what we already built. We're actually building on what we have.
Amen.
We are going forward from where we are. So we're going forward with what we have. So one of the acronyms that we will discuss in depth this afternoon is the acronym MOVE. Edmondson Heights on the move. And can you see that? Mobilize. I will just say this. We mobilize for collaborative ministries and mission groups, building renovation projects and service activities. Offering. Ongoing outreach training and commitment to achieve stewardship goals in time, spiritual gifts, and resources for sustainable mission. V will stand for vibrant. Vibrant worship experience and engaged church through life-changing and transformative Bible study, prayer ministry, and fellowship. And then finally, E, I believe that's what it is, evangelism, effective evangelism through discipleship training, enhanced media communication using social media and technology evangelism, baptism classes and quarterly baptisms, evangelistic pre-work and annual campaigns. I believe, as we've prayed, and part of this is coming out of our conversation with the leaders at the board. So we're building it on what we're hearing. And I think you've all received a survey that you will respond to in terms of what we need. We will unpack what that means, but I just wanted to highlight, as we think about 2020 and beyond, MOVE. What does that mean? Remember, we started yesterday by saying our Great Commission is go. Go is an action word. It's a verb. And there's an active word. As you go, God blesses. And so many times our churches are stagnated because, number one, we've not come to Jesus, and secondly, we have failed to go. So I pray that God will help us as we springboard into 2020 with all the challenges that we are experiencing, that God will help us accomplish. With God, all things are possible. Do you believe that? Let us pray together. Our Father, we thank you for the invitation to come. Truth be told, we are all labored and heavy burdened. We have sacks of stones and rocks and pebbles that we have accumulated over time. And sometimes we don't know what to do with them, so we bring them, we drag them to church, we drag them back home. But today you've asked us to come to you, have an intimate relationship with you, and use just the one basic thing that you've called us to do, to believe what you've told us. So I pray for our church today that we will believe. And as we lay our burdens at the feet of Jesus, we'll be liberated and free to be able to conquer down the kingdom of Satan, to depopulate his kingdom and repopulate the kingdom of God. So I pray for your spirit to be with us through this afternoon, through our lunch, and when we gather this afternoon to have a discussion and dialogue together, that Lord, your spirit will be here with us. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you.